All right. Genesis chapter 49. Please look into your Bibles. Don't admire my face. I know how awesome I am, all right? Look into your Bibles. That's more beautiful than anybody this time. From verse 1, it said, "Then Jacob summoned his sons and said, 'Assemble yourselves that I may tell you what shall befall you in the days to come.'" In verse 2, it says, "Gather together and hear, O sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel, your father. Reuben, let's just start with you. You are my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, preeminent in dignity and preeminent in power. But this is something about your life, verse 4. You are uncontrolled as water. You shall not have preeminence. This is a manifestation of your character as water and you're being uncontrolled." He said, "You went up to your father's bed, then you defiled it. You went up to my couch." Now go to verse 5. It says, "Simon and Levi are brothers. Their swords are implements of violence. Let my soul not enter into their counsel." That is, I will not agree what they are doing. "Let not my glory be united with their assembly. Because in their anger they slew men, and their self-will they lamed oxen." Please, if you have New Living Translation or the Good News Bible, today's English version, it said, they lamed oxen for sport. That is, just because they are happy. They just want to do something. All right? They go ahead and cripple animals. He said, "Cursed is their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will disperse them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel." Please, I want you to notice verse 5. He said, Simon and Levi are brothers. Are they brothers with Reuben? True. Are they brothers with Judah? Yes, they are. But why did he call them brothers? Because they tend to gather together and be in agreement. Do you get my point? You know, in a family, you have siblings that are closer than other siblings. So Simon and Levi are friends. Let me put it like that. He said, "But I'm going to separate them. I am going to scatter them. I'm going to scatter their descendants." Please bear that in mind. Now, it spoke about Judah in verse 8. I will not speak much about Judah. And then it spoke about Zebulun in verse 13. Please, let's jump to verse 14. Because these four people, Reuben, Simon, Levi, and Issachar, they are the ones that what their father said about them is very instructive for us at this season. He said, "Issachar is a strong donkey." If you have a Good News Bible, it says, "No better than an ass." All right? He said, "Lying down between the sheepfolds, when he saw that the resting place was good and that the land was pleasant, he bowed his shoulders, the shoulder to bear burdens, and became a slave at forced labor." That's what he said concerning Issachar. And he said many other things about the rest of his sons, but I just want to read this one because these ones will help me explain what I want to teach us this afternoon. Like I said, I'm talking about character of destiny, the character of destiny. I deliberately chose that title, all right? Instead of saying character and destiny or anything like that, I want to highlight some important issues. Now, I'm not describing the character that destiny has. I am talking about the character that produces the correct destiny. Are you getting my point? I'm not trying to describe the character of your destiny, but I'm describing the kind of character you will have that will produce a certain kind of destiny for you. I hope that is clear. All right. Now, let me explain the number of principles. Before I explain the principle, let me just make a statement. When I was doing my NYSC then, when orientation camp in Wukari, first set of coppers that went to Taraba State, it was a newly created state that time. That was 1992, I think, yes. End of 92. I was among the first set of coppers that went to Taraba State. And I don't know what they do now, but those days, every morning, there's these meditations we used to have. Do they still have it these days? All right. So the man who was talking that day spoke about chastity. I remember very well. He said many things, but what I never forgot was what he said about, he was quoting Pythagoras, the Greek philosopher. Pythagoras said, watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. And watch your character, they determine your destiny. I never forgot it. This was 1992. That's how many years after. All right? I heard that man say those things. So he was quoting Pythagoras. And that's very, very in tune with scripture. All right? And one thing my pastor in Lagos used to say those days, he would say, when an old man meditates and he looks at life, he discovers the word of God. That is, if you look at life and see the way things are working, all right, that you will discover the word of God. That is, the word that made this creation. Just by observing the creation, after a while, you will discover the way God ordered it to be. And when you speak words based on experience, you'll be saying things that are in tune with God's order. So when Pythagoras said that, obviously it was a man who had meditated, and he discovered and explained the word of God. All right, so I was reading this scripture. I've read it before. I've preached from it here and there. But today I just feel like bringing this thing to us again because to help us in today's Christianity. Is that all right? Now, a few points I want to make. There are a number of things that determine your destiny, or they try to determine your destiny, or that God puts in place that working together they will produce an outcome in your life. The first and most, let me use the word most important. The first one that meets you as you are born is where you are coming from. What I mean is this. Who's your father? Are you getting my point? Yes, it's important. Does your father have a covenant with God? For example, when Isaac was born, he was born into a covenant. Are you following what I'm explaining? So that determines a direction for his life. Please, bear that in mind. Where you're coming from has a way of setting you in a particular direction. I wrote a tract many years ago. It's one of our tracts still out there, Predestination, in which I tried to explain the principle of destiny. Is it that whatever we be, we be. There's nothing you can do about it. All right? What's going to be is going to be. What goes up must come down. What is going to be is going to be, and there is nothing you can do about it. Is that what life is about? I heard a woman say once that even when I'm beating my children, I said, I know it's because destiny said I must beat my children. So I am beating them. I have no control. I don't have time to explain it, but that is not true. If you had no control, God would not be just in judging you for your actions. If you had no control, God wouldn't be just in sending you into damnation for doing that which is wrong. And he will have no reason to bless you for doing that which is right. Are you getting my point? That is when you have no control. But when you do have control, all right, that is when he will tell you that it would have been better if this man was not born because of the punishment he will experience for what he's going to do. Even though God knew what the man was going to do, he didn't say the man didn't have any control. I hope you are following my point. The first thing, of course, that sets in a particular direction in life, all right, like I said, is where you are coming from. But I don't think that is most important. That just sets a platform for you. You can go against it. You can go in that direction. We'll start with Reuben. Now, before we talk about Reuben, one of my favorite scriptures is from 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Paul said, seeing that we have these promises, let us cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. He said, we have promises. The promises, what do they do for us? They give us, number one, that's where what God wants us to experience. But the knowledge of those promises give us vision, and they help us direct our lives towards the fulfillment of those promises. Now, listen to me. Not towards the practical actualizing the promises by our strength, but towards putting ourselves in a place where God can do what he wants to do. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? The difference between Christians and the world is that we labor in a fashion that is different from the way the world labors. I always say, after David was anointed king, you know what he did? He went back to where they called him from. Are you getting my point? He was there tending sheep. They said, you are wanted. So he went home. And as soon as he appeared, the prophet said, this is the man. He poured oil upon him and said, God has anointed you king in Israel. After that, he said, thank you very much. He returned back to being king of the sheep. Are you getting my point? He did not try to join PDP. What a lot of us would have done, let's assume we're teaching in a university or a secondary school, a primary school. The moment you hear you are anointed president in Nigeria, first thing you resign the job and go and join PDP. Let me say this to you. Many people have aborted destiny in life because they deliberately took the wrong steps while trying to actualize those destinies. But they did that which was wrong, and you never read their stories. When you hear of people in the Bible, all right, don't think that Abraham was the only person God called. I am not sure. I'm not saying it happened. But it's possible there were other Abrahams he called and they did not answer. Or they answered, they got halfway. The king in Egypt, Pharaoh, gave them a lot of goods and everything because of their wives. They abandoned their wives, settled down in prosperity, and you never read their story. I hope you are getting my point. Listen, I always say, God wouldn't give you a choice of two if there was no possibility of choosing the wrong one. Please, where you are coming from is very important. But more important than where you are coming from, okay, I said we should look at the life of, what's his name, Reuben. He said, Reuben, you are my firstborn. Firstborn is supposed to be an important thing. Look at Israel. Look at it. God, the commandment he gave them, usually you hand over the kingdom to the firstborn. Are you getting my point? That's the way it was. But except that you find out that the firstborns did not always get it. I need to say this. God's plan is God's plan. It does not always get fulfilled in individual lives. I don't know whether I get my point. You didn't get me. Let me say it again. God has a plan about your life. There's no guarantee to be fulfilled. The only plan that is guaranteed to be fulfilled is the plan he has for the whole earth. As it affects individual lives, there's no guarantee. God is not a joker. If he calls a man, he's hoping the man will respond. Many men don't respond, and they die in iniquity and obscurity, and it's not God's fault. What I'm saying is very important. I'm trying to build up something here. Reuben was the firstborn. Alright? Solomon was not David's firstborn. God always has a reason. Always has an order he follows when he's doing things. Always he has an order. He doesn't close his eyes and just do tumbum, 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 whichever one his hand falls upon. That is the chosen one. He does not. No. He doesn't do that. When he jumped Absalom, all the other, what are their names? In fact, their names I even had to remember. The sons before Solomon. There was Amnon. There was Absalom. There was another one that declared himself king. Adonijah, thank you. All right? When he jumped all those people, it wasn't because he just wanted to jump them because he didn't like the look of their face. Absalom is too handsome. Why should I use him? No. It is because they were not usable. Let me tell you about spiritual order. I've said this before, but just to say it again, to help those of us who didn't hear me when I said it first time, hear it again. When the prophet Samuel got to the house of David, Jesse, he made these people pass in front of him. Who sent him? God. Did God not know who he sent him to go and anoint? And he told him, I have found for myself a king who will do all my desires in the house of Jesse. Go to the house of Jesus and go and anoint for me a king. So why did he now waste time? Saul and Samuel sat down there. Eliab passed by. And God and Samuel was saying, this is surely the anointed. And God said, I have not chosen this one. Then Abinadab came by. I have not chosen this one. Then this Shammai or whatever came by. I have not chosen this one. You ask yourself, why was he wasting time? Why didn't he just say, all right, give me the stick. Not this one, 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 not this one. They are not here. Call the last person. Why waste time? This is what I believe. God was teaching us a lesson. These things were recorded for our learning. You know what God was saying? See the way you sat down and they are passing in front of you? That was how I started from Reuben. I went from through every family, looked through every male in Israel until I came down to Judah. I hope you are getting my point. He went through all the tribes before Judah. I know what I'm saying. And when he went into Judah, he went from the first families until he got to the family of Jesse. And then he went through his sons the way he went through all the other sons until he finally got to David. God always follows order. If he found a suitable man before David, David would have had to wait. Catherine Kuma used to say something that she's persuaded that she was not God's first choice for the ministry she had. In fact, her persuasion, she might be right, she might be wrong, but there is a lesson there. That her first choice, that she believed that God's first choice was a man. And the man refused to do the thing that was necessary. And then God chose him, her. I need to explain that. God always checks before he fits people into offices. God went through the whole of Israel And then he found the character he was looking for in David before he established David as a king. Please, if you've not been around, I'd like you to join us. We're still doing a lot of teaching, then we'll do a lot of praying on Tuesdays on what I call the hundredfold blessing. This message is actually, it's good to be part of it. Just that there's a reason why I want to teach it on Saturday. All right? Now, this is the point. There are characters that fit certain places. No matter what, where you were born, and let's talk, we are talking to believers now, because where you were born naturally, once you gave your life to Christ, it doesn't matter anymore. Do you understand my point? Where you came from naturally, the moment you gave your life to Christ, it stopped having meaning. It's the fact, what now matters is the fact that God has a plan for your life. Now, though you have a good destiny with God, though God has a plan for your life, are you getting my point? There's no guarantee that it will come to pass. That's why Paul said, listen to this, seeing that we have these promises, let us cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Which means that if we don't cleanse ourselves and we do not perfect holiness, the promises will never come to pass. Let's go back to Reuben. Having explained that, Reuben is my firstborn, he said. My might and the beginning of my strength. Preeminent in dignity and preeminent in power. That's what your childhood indicated. That was God's plan for Reuben. He said, but there's a character problem with Reuben. He's as uncontrolled as water. He goes anywhere, there's an opening. He doesn't understand that men are supposed to look for purpose in life. Are you getting my point? You don't go for everywhere things are easy. Any door that opens is your door. No, it's not every open door that's your door. That's Reuben. Uncontrolled as water. He said, because of this, even though your background, your destiny determined preeminence in power, preeminence in dignity, he said, but you shall not have preeminence. Why? Because your character cannot handle preeminence. Therefore, the man pronounced, that's the next thing, prophecies. Therefore, the man Jacob pronounced and said, you will not have preeminence. Listen, prophetic words always unite with correct character to have manifestation. Listen to what I'm saying. That is, even though a man's destiny is determined in a particular direction according to the will of God, if the man has a wrong character, it will never manifest. And no matter how powerful a prophet is, he can't just by words change the man's destiny if the man's character is not in place so as to be able to operate in that destiny. What am I saying? Listen to this. Prophets don't just change things when it comes to people's lives. They only express that which the spiritual events, all right, are determining. What am I saying? Babylon didn't come down just because Jeremiah prophesied. Jeremiah prophesied because Babylon was going to come down. And Babylon was going to come down because they had done things that God said, for this reason I must judge them. So the determined plan of God according to human behavior, all right, was what was prophesied about. Therefore, the prophecy on the earth united with what was going on at that time in the realm of the spirit, and Babylon came down. What am I saying? This man, Jacob, was not just prophesying because he wanted to. Listen to me, I said something before, that when God cursed Adam, it wasn't out of anger. It was an explanation. Like, you know, we look at it like this. Adam, yeah, I can't believe you did this to me. You stabbed me in the back. Adam, you go hear him. You will hear it all. So what am I going to do? I'm going to punish you. So Adam, sit down. You know what's going on? Cursed is the earth because of you. This earth, I won't let, if he wants to produce, I will hold it back. No, that was not what God did. God said, Adam, this is bad. Something terrible has happened. Adam said, what happened? He said, because of this thing that you have done, cursed is the earth because of you. That is, this kind of character does not unite with productivity in the earth. So, the earth will not yield forth its increase for you. The way you are going to eat now, you have to labor. Because, you see, I had placed you in a place where my words would just produce fruit for you in life. But you had gone into a place where you have to strive and labor to get anything. Oh, Adam, I'm very sorry. I'll plan a redemption, don't worry. But you have to suffer for a long time before that redemption will come. Are you getting my point? It wasn't out of anger. He was just explaining. In the same manner, Jacob was not angry. He was prophesying according to what the character of Reuben could carry. I've said it to you again and again. Let me say it again. One of the characters of a false prophet is a man who prophesies upon you, who sees visions according to the, let me put it like this, who sees the visions to solve your problems by blaming it on somebody else, who's blaming it on the environment, who's blamed on one witch or one wizard, and who does not make a demand on your personal righteousness. That's a false prophet. Is that deliberately false because you are paying him, or is ignorantly false? They told him that's ministry. God said, you have healed the hearts of the daughters of my people slightly by saying peace, peace, when indeed there is no peace. Are you getting my point? What am I saying? Reuben, your background shows you should go far in life. Let's come to other things. You have the correct intellect. Your head is correct. You know book well, like we say. You went to university, studied a very professional of all professional courses, the most professional of them, and you came out with the best grades, first class. Preeminent in wisdom, preeminent in brain, preeminent in IQ. But you will not have preeminence. Why? Because you are as uncontrolled as water. Listen to me. No matter how what God plans for somebody's life, I think that's a major problem we have today in Christianity. People don't emphasize character development. We think it's just about prophesying. It's just about declaring. It's just about giving a special offering to get a special harvest. That's what we think it's all about. We don't understand that God is not stupid. You think he likes his grace? Not like God is grace. He sees an irresponsible child. That's the person he will give all his inheritance to carry. I don't know where you're getting my point. If you were God, will you do that? You have 2,500 children. Because one can make a lot of noise. He's a useless boy, but let's make him king. No, God doesn't do that. Please, let's continue reading. He said, Simon and Levi are brothers. Their swords are implements of violence. We read that. He said, when they are making sport, they lame oxen. That's in verse 6. I'm referring to New Living Translation or Good News Bible there. He said, cursed be their anger, for it is fierce. And their wrath, for it is cruel. He said, I will disperse them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Another example of character flaws that does not allow men become established. When they are playing, they injure things that are precious to other people. You know, I always tell people, you know, if you see a man who's a bus driver, one day a bus driver jam. You know, in life, I have learned to judge people's destinies like this. One day I was driving. One bus driver just said he wanted to enter. You know, enter. You know what I mean? Just so the guy decided to enter. He knew he would jam me. So of course he jammed my car. So I stopped and we came down. And he was in there, instead of me to even give him space small. And I looked at him. There are different ways to handle matters. One of the ways was that I told him myself, I'm a salaried man where I work. Whether I'm there or not for the next 2 hours, my salary will come at the end of the month. You, every hour is counting. There are some wicked ways to punish people. I'll just stay there, we'll be talking. I'll call police, we'll be talking. What you don't understand, what I'm doing, I'm punishing you. Your passengers will disperse. But my salary is running. I will call my office and explain. Please, oh, one year man jammed me. And my salary keeps counting. They won't deduct a naira. But you, your shifts will soon be over. Somebody else will take over the bus. But after a while, I looked at him. The damage on my back was not serious. But I thought to myself, for this amount of disrespect to other people's property, this guy can't be rich in life. Mike Murdock said, what you don't respect, you don't attract. One day, one rough driver, this time I was driving a brand new car, brushed my car, mine being an old one. Now, you know what? I came home almost crying. Do you know why? He was at fault. Most certainly. But I felt that I should have just slowed down for him and allowed his foolishness to go away because the car was new and it was not his own. It was a driver. The man was sitting at the back. Now, what I'm going to say is that it pained me because, not because I was wrong, I wasn't. But how can I, with this my old vehicle, jam a new vehicle like this? And I was feeling very terrible. If I tell you this to make you laugh, I actually bowed down my head and I asked God for forgiveness. Because he said, but you were not wrong. And that's when you are using traffic law. But moral law, God vexed for me, I know. Because I was stubborn and said, this is my way. They said, here lies John Smith, who died maintaining his right of way. He was right, dead right as he sped along the expressway. But he's just as dead as if he were wrong. What I mean is that I was right, but I injured somebody's car. It was not good. I could have avoided that. All I needed to do was stop and wait for the man to pass. And I say, look at your wahala. Go, you know, I go vex my soul. I mean, that's something. Mike Mundock said, what you don't respect, you don't attract. There's what I call a cult of poverty. Don't ever join people who just get and say, look at those rich people. What are they doing with the car? What are they doing with the houses? Look at them. You are telling yourself, Lord, this is my level in life. I must not rise beyond it. That I might continue to criticize those who have things I do not have. This is my plan in life there, Lord. Keep me small, that they might remain big in their foolishness. In my holiness, make me small for life. I like one thing Bishop Oyedepo said those days. He said, I believe in good things because good things are good. The fact that a murderer is driving a nice car doesn't mean I won't drive a nice car. It is not because of murder that he got a good car. A good car was made before he began to kill people. Don't sit down there and say, well, these rich people, they are not happy. Believe me, they are more happy rich men than they are happy poor people. That's a matter of fact. If landlord is not breathing down your neck, you have more chances of studying the scriptures very well and generating the word of God into joy and fulfillment. I'm telling you the truth. So don't just join anybody. Don't forget, Mike Mudock said, what you don't respect, you don't attract. You want a great destiny when you see men who have reached there. All right? Respect them. Sometimes I see a lot of young people, you know. A young boy, he's selling something. Inside a hot sun. Age-wise, I'm double his age. So education-wise, don't even compare. And as for money-wise, after one whole day of sweating, I end that job, that money in 30 minutes. Yet, you don't buy something from him, he insults you. I feel bad. You see, get my point. I feel bad. Not about me, but about him. Like this boy, except God works a miracle, you won't go far in life. There's one girl that begs at that junction. Except God works a miracle, her children will beg. My wife knows what I'm talking about. You don't give to her, she abuses you. And this is, she had grown from childhood into teenage begging. It's not her fault, because you see, Reuben was preeminent. Some people are down, all right, because of their history. But when they develop the right character, God turns things around for them. So one Jacob, we say, this small girl, all right? He said, you are low in eminence. Nobody know what is the opposite of preeminent? Back eminent. Is that okay? He said, but because you are as focused as an arrow, are you getting my point? I'm turning it around. You will go far and you will have preeminence. Even though amongst your brethren, you are the smallest of them all. Paul said, even though I was the least of the apostles, but I labored more than them all. I'm talking about character of destiny. Simon and Levi, God spoke about them. And when I say God spoke, he said, did God utter a word? Listen, there are different ways God speaks. I told them, my pastor said that an old man will discover the word of God. I may be wrong, but I'm not so certain that in all these places, Jacob was speaking by what you and I would call inspiration. We say, wait. Put my hand. And the Lord began to speak to me right now that Issachar, no. He just has observed, Jacob was 140 something years old at this time. He had watched Issachar for the last 50 years. He said, this boy, he can never be anything but a slave in his life. God doesn't need to talk to me specially. I have observed him for 50 years. Anywhere it looks like there's more money flowing, you will find him there. He said he will bend his back to bear the burden and he will become a slave at first labor. Take a message to all your friends that change jobs every time salary are just small, that will never own anything in life. They will be employees all their lives. There are different kinds of first labor. I keep on saying that there was a time when a white man came and used force to take us on sheep, what do you call it? or slave ships across the oceans. But now they don't need that anymore. All they need to do is display it. Highly skilled immigrant visa.